I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. The goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
In the power of the blood. Christ, everybody, we all stand redeemed, and God has been merciful on us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to talk a lot about that sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how important it is that we understand not only what happened on the cross that day, but what that meant for past, present, and future, and what it means right now. We've never talked about this before. So today is bound to be a very powerful episode, number 310 of Rise Up here on LFA TV on rumble.com. And we welcome each and every one of you on this March 11th, Monday morning, year of our Lord 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, what a start to the week. What a great song. The song is called Mercy by Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music. And boy, that mercy is something that I think that a lot of us overlook. And even if we think that we're not overlooking it, sometimes we really are. And I didn't realize that until this weekend. Through godly conversation with my daughters, God revealed something to me that I'd never, ever really thought of. I've been close to singling in on this thought, but I've never really, really thought of it until this weekend. So, God Chick says, Eli, you are great. Remember that. Still vape free. Still over there chewing on his toothpicks. Funny about that, Eli. I actually, when I quit smoking back in 2008, February of 2008, I quit smoking. The same month my daughter was born. And how I quit was toothpicks. It's the only way I could do it was toothpicks. And Alicia Keys, for some reason. Listening to Alicia Keys as a hardcore rapper who was the most angry man on earth chewing toothpicks. That's how I quit smoking cigarettes. Weirdest thing. So we're big into cherry blossoms right now. So you're going to see a lot of cherry blossom backgrounds here on LFA TV, especially on Rise Up. So we sent out a newsletter this morning. So make sure that you've got your newsletters. We're actually reading out of the book of Genesis today. So that's going to be pretty incredible. I'd like to thank some of the following people that are here, not only for being here every day, but also for donating and understanding the importance of what it takes, you know, to do this. And although it doesn't cost anything to worship God, in a lot of ways it does cost something to further the gospel, right, through missions and things like that. And Jesus always depended on everybody else, not a job, in order to get that done, and we do as well. So Majorva, God bless you, and thank you for being here this morning. Michelle Curl and Moose for Trump, God bless you both. Cindy Lauer, Langewish, thank you very much. Lovebug07, God bless you and thank you for being here today. Arthur Nettler, I was able to quit 3 packs a day with the help of David's sunflower seeds. Hundreds of bags. I hear you, Arthur. Better to spend the money on that than the cigarettes, though, right, brother? 1776, I clicked my pen when I was quitting smoking. Click, 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 click. I would have never wanted to be around you when you were quitting smoking. But I know other people who did that as well. Heidi, good morning. God bless you. I'm having a good spring market. Going to up my monthly. You see that, folks? The power, the mercy, and the grace of God. And the blessings of the people that he uses. Incredible. Faith trumps feelings. If you speak death, pray for a crop failure. Arthur said that was in 1982, September of 1982. Incredible. Kalia, I need to order my coffee. Hopefully we'll have the store completely up and fixed today for everybody. Pray for that. And one more here. Let's say happy birthday to Thanson, because it's Thanson's birthday today. So you know we've got to sing the song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Thanson. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We hope it's a good one for you. And Eileen Jimenez, 65th birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Eileen. Happy birthday to you and to all the people who have birthdays in here. May God bless the day that he brought you into this earth. And it's really, really great to have so many wonderful, positive people here in the chat. We have over 1,000 people now. I think it's time, a good time to go to the Lord in prayer. So please join with me. Bow your heads, take off your hats and your headphones, and let's get to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we start this Monday morning, March 11th, already 2024, a day closer, a month closer, a year closer to being with you in heaven, we just want to thank you for discernment and revelation. Discernment to be able to decide what's good and bad and what decisions that you want us to make, but also revelation to help us understand and comprehend your message so that we can have good discernment through the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we journey with Jesus and as we approach mountains and obstacles, Lord, help us really understand who we're on this journey with. If Jesus is in us, and the Holy Spirit guides us, then what does that mean for Jesus and the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Now, we live in a fleshly world with time, and the Holy Spirit and God and the Son, Father and Son, do not and are not bound by physicality and time. But there's still much more to be understood by what it really means to walk with Jesus and have Jesus with us. And today we're going to talk about that. We pray that you can use me to bring the right message and not confuse anyone. Because your message is not confusion. Your message is one of clarity and understanding and comprehension. And Lord, today we ask that you're with us while we discuss this very important topic of hurting Jesus. Thank you so very much. We pray this in the name of your Son, Yeshua. Amen. Folks, I titled today's show, Hurting Jesus. Is it possible to hurt God? Is it possible to hurt Jesus? And Ashley said, Jeremy, why don't Jehovah Witnesses celebrate birthdays? Because they don't think that those kind of celebrations are worthy of for us to engage in. They think that celebrations should be only reserved for God and Jesus, and annual celebrations are not important enough for us to celebrate. Although where I differ from that, thank you, Arthur. Anna just booked a trip to go home for the Philippines in May. Well, God bless the both of you. That's amazing. Where I differ in that opinion is that God made us. That's a miracle. Why wouldn't I annually celebrate miracles if it was okay for the Jews to annually celebrate blessings and events that God brought them through, like leaving Egypt and stuff like that? So I don't, you know, subscribe to that same opinion. But that's why. So this weekend, I was having a conversation with my daughter, one-on-one, both of them actually, different times. And I was talking to my daughter about her continued rejection of the Word and the Holy Spirit trying to guide her and rejecting my advice and my commands as her father. And I started talking to her about that, and the Holy Spirit revealed something to me in the moment. They revealed something to me in the moment, or the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, the Trinity, revealed something to me while I was speaking to my daughter, that every time you do this, you are hurting Jesus. And then immediately, my thought process went to, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus doesn't feel pain anymore because he's not in the flesh. God doesn't feel pain because God is not a physical body. And we are promised not to feel any kind of pain in heaven. So how can that be? And then while I was saying it, literally in the moment, in live real time, God was revealing to me while I was speaking that because Jesus lives in us and because Jesus is one with us and we are one with him, yes, when you sin against God, when you sin against Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because of the fact that he is in you, he feels it and it hurts him. You got to remember, Jesus paid the fine that we all owe on the cross. Amen? We all agree with that. Jesus paid the fine. But what does it say? He paid the fine for all of eternity, past, present, and future. So if you are sacrificing yourself to be in to take place of somebody else's pain, then that means that you are taking their pain upon yourself. So the act in which Jesus died and suffered on the cross was the payment. But what about the suffering? What about the suffering? How can Jesus only suffer one time for the period of 3 to 5 hours for future events? And God revealed to me that it's not that way. That Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is within you and Jesus lives as one with you, the Holy Spirit feels pain. You can cause spiritual pain to the Holy Spirit because it can grieve inside of you. So I started thinking about that in a whole new level. And it brought me back to a very old analogy that I started talking with you folks about years ago. And it's the bricks in the backpack analogy. If Jesus tells us that when Satan drops weight in our backpacks, on our back, And Jesus, and we say to Jesus, Jesus, Satan just threw another back, a brick in there. Get it out. And Jesus takes it out. Who bears the weight? If right now, the devil says to me, you are worthless, you are nothing, you will never amount to anything, everything that you ever thought was a lie, you are a depressed individual, a depraved individual, nobody likes you, you'll never be any better than the 3 felonies that you committed, you'll never be better than the 15 misdemeanors that are on your record, you'll never be better than the people that you hurt, you'll never be better than the women that you rejected who loved you and you took advantage of them, you are scum. And I say, I'm not dealing with that because I know that's not true. Jesus, take that. Who bears that weight? Somebody has to bear it. The weight doesn't disappear. If pain is inflicted upon me by somebody who loves me or by somebody who I thought was a friend, and I decide to give that pain and that weight to Jesus, my question is, who bears it? Throughout the Bible, Jesus says, give me your weight. Give me your burden. I will carry that yoke for you. Now, Bumblebee says, Jeremy, Jesus says, it is finished. If we are still punishing him with pain, then why did he say it is finished? Because the payment was paid. The suffering, still, it doesn't happen to Jesus in a form of physical pain. But if you can grieve the Spirit and you can cause the Holy Spirit within you pain and Jesus resides in you, then Jesus can still feel that pain that you're going through. He can still feel that suffering that you're going through. Now, he doesn't have to relive it in a physical way. But where is Jesus right now, I may ask? Where is Jesus right now? He's preparing a way for all of you, all of us. So not only is he still feeling the grieving of the Holy Spirit in each one of you when you sin against him, but he's doing it while preparing a place. So the quick answer is, does Jesus still feel pain? Well, the quick answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Jesus does not feel pain the way he did when he was in the flesh. He paid the ultimate price, and he'll never experience that fleshly, earthly pain. Human pain ever again. But he does feel your spiritual pain, and it hurts, and he takes that suffering for you. Does he hurt when children are hurt? I assume he hurts when all are hurt. That is what he took. That's why it says, no matter what time in your life it is, if you're feeling this pain, give it to me because mine is lighter. Take mine. I'll take yours. So he can't only take everybody's pain for 3 hours that he suffered on the cross and have that be true. He has got to still feel in a spiritual way that maybe we don't understand. But God said that every time you sin against God, every time you sin against Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you're causing your Holy Spirit to grieve. So if you look up grieving in the dictionary, the word pain is synonymous with the word grief. So if the Bible says that the Holy Spirit grieves when you reject God or sin against God, and the definition of the word grieve is synonymous with the word pain and suffering, then yeah, the Holy Spirit can feel pain, which means Jesus can still feel in some way, shape, or form, in a way that I don't really grasp, but I know he does because the Bible does say it, still feels your suffering. Now, whether he goes through it the same way, I'm sure he doesn't, whether obviously it is finished, What he did on earth is finished. So he doesn't feel the pain that same way, but he feels your pain. He feels your suffering through the Holy Spirit. He fights the last battle. We don't, says Love Bug. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go to Scripture. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to Genesis. Okay? So everybody open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. And while you guys open up your books to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to read Understanding the 66 Books of the Bible. Okay? Bumblebee says, sorry, I got in late. I get what you're saying now. I agree with you. He can feel our spiritual pain. Thought you meant he was literally feeling the pain of the crucifixion. No. That's finished. He did that. That's finished. But when we sin against Christ, that suffering, that weight that we give him, where does it go? Where does it go? It's got to still be taken by the Savior, by the sacrificial lamb. It just doesn't disappear into thin air like it's not there anymore, like it never happened. Justice must be served and there must be a balance, a yin and a yang, right? That's the way God's rules are. I don't say that, the Bible does. So it only makes sense that as I'm telling my daughter, every time that you do something that you know you're not supposed to do, you're still hurting Jesus. Hasn't he suffered enough? Hasn't he suffered enough on the cross? Why? Why do you want him to have to take more unnecessary pain that you're experiencing if he lives in you? Consilvative, that's right. The physical pain is gone, but all the sin we commit is more an emotional pain. You got it right. Grieving the spirit. Genesis, understanding the 66 books of the Bible. Many of our modern words, like genes, genetics, generations, and genealogy, come from the same root word as Genesis, meaning origin or creation. The book of Genesis reveals our beginnings. Here we have the beginnings of the universe, of the human race, of sin, the beginning of God's program of redemption, and of the Jewish people, who were the ones through whom God would bring the Messiah into the world. So if you ever wondered why God's chosen people are the Jews, it's because those are the people that God chose to be where God would bring the Messiah through. And Jesus was a Jew. Water cop, sorry, Jeremy, but I believe we are all guilty. Then you believe everything that everybody else believes in here. Good job. The first 11 chapters of Genesis focus on primeval history, while the rest of the book gives patriarchal history. The story of Abraham and his descendants, Genesis 1 through 11 describes four great events: the creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. While Genesis 12 through 50 tell of four great persons: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The book of Genesis sets the stage for the entire biblical story and provides foundational lessons for all of us. As we read Genesis, we're reminded that no matter what life brings or how evil intrudes, God has a plan. And his ultimate plan cannot be frustrated. Many of the events recorded in Genesis permanently affect life on earth. Yet, in spite of those epic events, God's plans remained on schedule. We can trust his ability to make sense of our own lives, even if our world appears to be upside down. When we read the book of Genesis, we're reminded that our creator, God, is sovereign, and he's always in control from beginning to the end, Genesis to Revelation. So, let's go read the verse of the day today. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth. Stop right there. And his heart was deeply troubled. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was troubled. Stop. A lot of people would say, how can that be? How can God regret if he knows all? And how can God's heart be troubled if he's not a physical being? Well, we are made in his image, aren't we? Aren't we? So the very fact that it says God regretted and that his heart was troubled lets you know that God can feel disappointment. If you look up the word disappointment in the dictionary, it's going to have a lot of negative attributes to it. I'm disappointed in you. I knew you would do it, but I'm disappointed that you chose to do that. I was hoping, because you have free will, that you would choose to do the other. However, I knew instinctively that you would not. And I'm disappointed. Well, if God can feel disappointment, then why can't God feel spiritual pain that you're going through? He gets displeased. He gets disappointed. He's never shocked or surprised, but he's happy. He's happy when we choose the right thing. And I always said, so somebody says, well, if that's the case, it doesn't make any sense. Because you can't have free will and God know everything. You can. And it goes a little something like this. God knows every possible choice that you will freely choose to make. He knows. Still gives you the choice to choose one of them, though. He knows the past, present, and future of every decision that you make. So if you decide to make this choice, he knows the past, present, and future of that choice. If you decide to make this choice, he knows the past, present, and future of that choice. He knows everything. Love Bug, he cried out in anguish and in prayer to take away this cup from him 3 times before dying on the cross. That's right, he did. Now let's keep going. So the Lord said, I will wipe the face of the earth, the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. All right, we're getting there. We're getting there, folks. Why does this matter? This question, this entire topic of can Jesus still feel pain? It shows that God is a person, not just an idea or a force or a concept or a philosophy, or a distant, unapproachable God. And we talked about that last week. God is not an idea to be believed in. God is a person. Made in his image are we. So if God is a person, then God can be known personally. That's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions in the world. So if God can be known, what is he like? Do you really want to know him? If my decisions can cause God pain, real pain, then this should help me work hard each day to make right and righteous decisions. Because after all, who in their right mind would watch The Passion of the Christ or any other film where Jesus is physically tortured and say to yourself, I still want to make the wrong decision so that man could be tortured even more. Except this time, not physically, spiritually, I can hurt him. Why would we want to do that? Now, don't get nervous, everybody. I'm not saying that we should work hard to do good in order to get to heaven and get Jesus' forgiveness because it's some unearnable gift, because it's not. It's not the point here. I will say this. The point is God is patient, but his patience sometimes wears out. God is slow to anger, so he tells us to be slow to anger. But he does sometimes get angry. Here are a few examples of God getting angry. So if we're made in his image, and God can feel disappointment in us, which it says he does, he can regret things, which he says he does. He says that we pain him and hurt him in our decisions, and he feels anger, then why wouldn't it be feasible to think that when we sin against God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus still suffers? Here are a few examples of God getting angry. Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple. Jesus rebuking Peter. The destruction of Judah and the Babylonian exile. God removing his blessings from Saul. The death of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, 1 through 11. Moses trying to wiggle out of the command or the mission that God gave him. Mordecai rebuking Esther for contemplating not stepping up to save God's people. The blood of Abel crying out to God for justice. I'm not saying that in anger, God is going to take away someone's salvation. But even though God removes our eternal consequences, because he's given us salvation and mercy of our sin when we receive Christ, he doesn't always remove the earthly consequences of sin. This should give us pause in how we live. Are there sins that you are continually giving into over and over again? Are there any sins that you are not fighting against or resisting and just allowing to happen every day? Are you causing God pain in the way that you treat your spouse, in the way that you treat your child, in the way that you treat your friends, in the way that you treat strangers, in the way that you see yourself? Are you causing God pain? That's the real question. And I say that we are. I say that we are because God told me in real time, while trying to get the words out to my daughter, relying on the Holy Spirit, that we do. We pain him spiritually. We pain Jesus because Jesus is one with us. He's right in here. So if we sin and we cause ourselves pain or our spouse's pain or our children pain or our friends or our coworkers or strangers, then yes, you are causing Jesus pain. And this is something to think about because you say to yourself, he's already experienced so much. And it's not about me, it's about him. I don't want him to suffer anymore. Physically or spiritually. I don't want him to be disappointed in me. That's the last thing that I want. So you have to go about your day thinking, and whether however dramatic you want to make it feel inside of you, that every time you do something to cause hurt, then Jesus is going to hurt. And I think that will help us not choose to continue to live in our sin, whichever sin it may be. So the ultimate question of today, can you hurt Jesus? And the ultimate and simple and quick answer is yes, You can still hurt Jesus. So why would you want to? How can we not? We are not perfect, only forgiven through the blood of Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus. So why should we squander that? Why should we resist wanting to do good for him? CQ said, wow, I needed to hear this. Yesterday I had an argument with my husband, and as I yelled at him, I felt I was hurting Jesus. And I had to stop yelling because it felt really bad. Boom. If it hurts you or it hurts others around you by decisions that you've made, then you can bet your bottom dollar that it hurts Jesus too. And I don't want to do that. I can't do that. After watching visual representations of what the Bible explains that they did to that man, I cannot live with myself if I continue to cause him pain willingly every day. Willingly every day. I want to read from Walking with God, March 11th. God knows you. And then we'll get into Ray Comfort. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Talking about somebody being saved. And by the way, if you don't want to hurt Jesus anymore, type it in the live chat. Make sure you rumble and share. Say, I don't want to hurt Jesus anymore. Because the very fact that you say it out loud and type it into existence, you'll feel different after today's show. I felt different after God revealed it to me. Imagine a couple that has just learned that they are expecting a child. What a great, great piece of news. They don't know the baby's gender, personality, or future. All they know is that within 9 months, they will give birth to a baby. Then they will resolve to guide their child's development and shape his or her future the best way they can. While parents prepare to meet their child's every need, their efforts are limited because they are still discovering how the best way to care for this new life. How different that is from our Heavenly Father. God the Father knew you intimately before you were born. Even before you were conceived, he knew the details of your life, the good and the bad, and the spiritual responses of your heart. But God's foreknowledge isn't passive information. It led him to fix his love on you and to delight in you as his child even before you knew him. When you decided for him, he already decided for you. The purpose of this decision is that you may be conformed to the image of Jesus. Let the loving Father shape you to look like his son today. That goes back to Jesus was my cellmate. God chose me way before I chose him. Incredible. Absolutely beautiful and incredible. And I see all the people that say, I don't want to hurt Jesus anymore. Amazing. Beautiful. I love that. I love that. I love the fact that we now know that we can hurt Jesus. Because now that you know that you can still hurt Jesus, why would you? See, a lot of people didn't think that when I started the show today. A lot of people said, no, that's not true. It is finished. It is done. What's the it? What's the it? Who defines the it? Well, God defined it. And he also tells you what you can still do. To the Holy Spirit, to him, and to Jesus. And you can grieve them, and you can hurt them. And it's common sense. We all knew it, but we didn't know it. Right? Now we know it. And we don't want to hurt him anymore. That's a revelation. That's a blessing. And that's a promise from each and every one of us. We do not want to hurt you anymore. Beautiful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. It is time for Ray Comfort. Roll it.
I'm going to talk about Jamie Foxx and his continual reference to Lord have mercy Jesus and show you an angry man who came on camera to set me straight because I'd offended his mother.
You have an agenda here to get me excited, agitated, to twist words. You know, we're all trying to get along here on the planet. Okay. Do you have to be shoving the agenda up people's faces all the time?
Yes.
Jamie Foxx is not only an amazing impressionist.
He's a great person. He couldn't vote for me at the time. Excuse me. Fake news.
If there's anyone who still doubts that America is not a place where all things are possible, tonight is your answer.
But he's a gifted musician and a very successful actor.
And the Oscar goes to Jamie Foxx and Ray.
I don't care for his foul mouth, but I did care when I heard him talk about his near-death experience.
Turn out to Jamie Foxx, the Oscar winner, made his first public appearance after being hospitalized.
He was stopped in his successful tracks by what the news media called a mysterious illness that almost killed him back in April of 2023. My heart went out to him when he spoke about this experience.
I wouldn't wish what I went through on my worst enemy, because it's tough.
First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody that's prayed, man, and sent me messages. I cannot even begin to tell you how far it took me and how it brought me back to them, to God, to a lot of great medical people. I'm able to leave you this video. I went to hell and back. I'm here on earth because of some great people. I'm here on earth because of God, man.
When it's almost over, when you see the tunnel, I saw the tunnel. I didn't see the light. It was hot in that tunnel too. I don't know where I was going. I'm not going to the right place. I just seen the devil going, come on, nigga.
That's not a good sign. When you're on your deathbed, you don't want to be wondering whether you're going to heaven or to hell. You want to know that you're going to heaven. And that's what we can know according to the Bible. Not because of anything we've done, but because we're trusting in God's amazing grace.
Black people, when we almost die or go through something like that, there's one of two phrases we say. One is, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Or, I want to thank you for all of the prayers, because the one thing that I have to get used to now is the Lord, have mercy, Jesus, when I see people out. I'll be driving and somebody will pull up and hit me with that. Or
here now is what I find very frightening. It's something I call cultural Christianity, and this is very prevalent in the Bible Belt, where everybody prays for everybody when things aren't going well, where everybody feels blessed, and they say things like, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But there's little or no fruit of genuine repentance. In other words, there's no evidence that they're saved from hell. I'm concerned because the Bible speaks of something called another Jesus, a non-existent Jesus, one who doesn't demand obedience and never talks about sin or judgment day. But here is how Jesus will present himself at the second coming to a sinful world. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're now going to look at that man who stepped up to defend his mum and another very likable gentleman. And then we're going to come back to Jamie Foxx saying something about a special prayer. Make sure you watch this video until the end. Don't miss what he has to say. It's very moving. Do you think there's life after death?
Oh, of course.
Now, why do you say of course?
Of course, because I believe it.
Are you a Christian?
Oh, of course.
Have you been born again?
I don't know. I'm sure I've born thousands of times.
Lily, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again to enter heaven. Did you know that?
Well, I think we're in heaven right now, don't you?
How would you define a gift? Like, according to the dictionary, what is a gift?
something that somebody would like, something nice, a material thing or a thoughtful thing, a poem.
Well, a gift, according to the dictionary, is something that can't be purchased.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you know the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life?
Yes.
And how do I get that gift?
Well, one, you got to be an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, I feel like, or whatever high power you feel like you believe in. I think as long as you're righteous, there will be something. I don't think you can live this life righteous and look out for people and do good for majority of your life and make the right decisions without some type of good coming back.
You can't purchase a gift. How could you purchase everlasting life? And if you and I offer anything to God for the gift of eternal life, it's an offense to him. And there's a reason for that. This is what changes the whole equation. Do you know the Bible says God's a judge? He's a God of judgment and justice. And you and I have broken his law, the Ten Commandments. We're criminals. So when we offer God any righteousness of our own, we're attempting to bribe the judge of the universe. Lil, how are you going to do on Judgment Day? Are you a good person?
I don't think there's a Judgment Day.
Well, the Bible says it's coming. God's a God of justice and truth.
The Bible is interpreted in many ways.
Yeah. Well, let me share one verse with you. God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness.
I've had enough.
You've had enough?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, Lil, sorry to make you feel uncomfortable.
Well, my son is waiting for me. Did he leave me? There he is.
So when the mum walked off, she went over and talked to her son, and you heard her son saying what?
I saw him becoming very combative and just telling her, you know, what he thought about Islam and Hinduism, and, you know, he understood, like, we were out here to prove a point, and so I just let him run, and the whole time you were doing the other interview, he was talking to her. She didn't say one word. So after you were done, I said, well, you're already talking. You want to share that? And he came to interview.
So what happens after you die? Where do you go?
You go to heaven.
What do you have to do to go to heaven?
You got to be a good person.
Are you a good person? Oh, what about the Ten Commandments? That's your measuring rod.
They're great.
Let's look at the Ninth Commandment. How many lies have you told in your life?
A million.
Ever stolen something?
Yep.
You have? So you're a lying thief?
Technically.
Do you still think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try and get rid of that. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Probably a few times, and probably more than a few.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. It's using God's holy name as a cuss word to express disgust. Just stay with it for a minute and appreciate your patience with me.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her,
you
commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I'm not going to answer that question. You have an agenda here to get me excited, agitated, to twist words. You know, if you're talking about, is this you guys believe in Jesus Christ, right?
Of course.
Do you think Jesus Christ would do this to somebody in the street?
Yes, he did.
He
Rich
did.
Rich young ruler came to him and said, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. And then he said this, you know the commandments. And he named five of the Ten Commandments. That's what I'm doing with you to show you need God's mercy.
Got him.
You know, we're all trying to get along here on the planet.
Okay.
Do you have to be shoving the agenda up people's faces all the time?
Yes.
Well, I'm not. I asked your permission to do this.
Now you're getting a little nicer, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
But you were getting a little agitated before when you were sending me the commandments and the gospel and on about it.
No, you
Am
got
I
agitated.
A Christian? Yes. Do I believe in God? Yes. Do I believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. And I appreciate you guys having, you know, the gumption and the guts to be out here to be, formulating this with people and keeping and having a Christian dialogue. It's great to have the dialogue. But at the same time, everyone's on their own path, and I don't think that God condemns people for being on other paths. It's kind of like they're trying to, you know, bring them in, but it's not done with aggression and some, you know, twisting of words.
Well, forgive me for my aggression. Let me share the gospel with you and get your thoughts. Tyron, you've told me that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, who's self-righteous, which is a sin, because you're a sinner just like the rest of us. You're not a good person. So if you stand before God on Judgment Day and he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
It's up to God.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. So can you see that you're in big trouble?
Yes.
Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
Yeah, I heard that before.
Yeah, it's very famous. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge looks at a criminal who's committed murder, but he keeps saying, I'm a good person. I'm a good person, judge. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. Sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. So here's the big question. What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
die for us.
Jesus to die on the cross. Now, almost everybody knows that, but they don't know this. And if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you, so don't let anything distract you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, "It is finished," just before he died. He was saying, "Paid in full." If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. He'll say you're guilty, but you're out of here. Someone's paid your fine, and it's legal to let you go. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you because of the death and resurrection of Jesus and paying our fine. Then he rose from the dead and defeated death, and if you will simply repent and trust in him, not your goodness, but trust in him, God promises he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift.
I have to say I believe that. You know, I'm not disputing any of that.
Well, thank you for that. Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I pray every day that is the correct situation. And I appreciate this book, Scientific Facts, because that might give me additional information that I don't have.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, what was your name?
It's on the book.
It's on the book.
And thank you for coming back and listening. I really appreciate it. Here's a question for you. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
So you'll land safely.
Yeah, you don't want to die. So your motivation is fear. And that fear is your friend. It's not your enemy because it's making you put on a parachute. It's doing you a favor. And Tyrone, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with God. And it'll drive you to the foot of the cross where you'll find everlasting life. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Definitely.
When are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus?
Already did. Just got to keep working on it.
Well, something's not been right because you thought you were a good person when the Bible says there's none good but God. You had no real knowledge of sin. Today we've looked at the commandments to see how serious sin is. So now you can find a place of genuine sorrow for your sins because you see how serious it is. And find a place of biblical true repentance, because a lot of people believe in Jesus, think they're saved, but there's no evidence in their life. There's no what's called fruit of salvation. And that's what you need, because the Bible says every tree that brings not forth good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. So you need to make your calling and election sure. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
When did you last read your Bible?
It's maybe like 5-6 months.
Yeah, so something's not right. So you need to repent, trust in Jesus today. Is that making sense?
And he's 100% right, ladies and gentlemen. Repent and trust in Jesus today. Now, before we go real quick, I want to say two things. Number one, you see how Ray did not get combative back towards the man? Ray was literally just very nice. No matter what the man said, Ray was very, very nice back to him. And that's what opened up that man to be able to talk to Ray. And we need to remember that, too. I need to remember that, especially when talking about God and Jesus. And here's the other thing. My wife said something to me last night that I want to leave with you today. My wife said, you know what Lily asked me today? And I said, what? She asked me how blind people read. And she told Lily, the way blind people read is different. They don't read like we read. And I thought about that. And I said, well, that's a great way to actually talk about hearing God. To atheists, we don't hear God with our ears. We hear God with our heart. And that blew my mind when she just said the simple thing, blind people don't read the way we read. And I said, and Christians don't talk to God the way we talk to humans. It's got to be different. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, love you all so very much. God bless you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now. And I will see you for very exclusive breaking news that you're not going to want to miss on LFA Live from America at 11 a.m. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great morning. Mike Crispy next.
I thought I deserved to be saved.